Mike McDaniel's team still with a chance to make the playoffs. We'll see about that. Denver sitting the prettiest of the three teams. Bengals the other.
I know we don't do sports talk in Miami, but it continues to baffle me. How do you build an offense that hums with Tua Tagovailoa as quarterback, and yet any other human being steps in there and attempts to play quarterback, and it just looks clunky and dreadful?
That means you have a good quarterback.
And is
you
it
better,
that simple?
And you better find another one. But what could it possibly be?
I don't know. Like, it's almost like they built a car that is specific for one person to drive and one person only.
Well, that kind of happens.
Yeah, I guess. Like, it's just one of the most bizarre things in football.
Well, there's a reason that starting quarterbacks are starting quarterbacks, and they make offenses click, right? No? I don't mean to be trite about it. That's, to me, it's pretty simple. Tua's a lot better than Tyler Huntley and anybody else they're throwing out there.
There's a response.
I'm not buying any Skylar Thompson stock.
There's a response that I would like to say to you right now, but it would get me pulled into a meeting, and we don't want to do that. But just let it be known, it's typically followed by a literary detective.
Huh. Okay. I'm just stating a fact.
I'm aware.
Why does their offense look better with Tua? Because he's better than everybody else.
Well, no, Sherlock. Like,
then why even ask?
But like, it's just bizarre that they can't go out and get a backup quarterback that can even execute it at 90% of the level of Tua Tagovailoa. Like, that they can't go out and, for lack of, just to pull somebody out of the sky, they can't go out and grab Jimmy Garoppolo. They can't go out there and grab Carson Wentz. They can't go out there and grab one of those guys to be the backup because Tua gets, you know, sadly is dealing with the concussion issues. You'd think you'd back that up and find
a
better way to do it.
Maybe that's an issue with Miami's front office.
Maybe it is. It's just one of the most baffling things I've seen. Miami's offense just craters the minute Tua can't play.
All I know is, you know, when's the Josh Johnson era going to begin in Baltimore?
Well, where's he not played? Because that's where he needs to go next.
That's a tough question.
If there was anybody who needs to collect every single uniform, it should be Josh Johnson. That guy has got to be like the best hang in football.
How in the world did the Ravens let that be the case? That'll be changing. Todd's in Cleveland. Todd.
What's happening, Todd?
Todd, you there?
I don't know if it's Todd you're looking for, but this is Tom.
Hi, Tom.
How are you, Tom? Sorry, we can't read.
No, we can. That's the problem.
Happy holidays, gentlemen.
Thank you, Tom.
Hey, listen, you guys are talking about, I know it's been brought up a couple times. I mean, you've gone to other subjects, but you're talking about pre-snap penalties and putting ourselves behind the eight ball all the time. That's a coaching job, you know, a coach's responsibility. And granted, I understand line coaches and offensive coordinators and all that deal with that stuff. But when it comes down, when push comes to shove, that's Stefanski's responsibility. I don't think he gets a pass for that. They should hold him accountable when at least three times a game you're getting procedure or illegal formations set up. And the quarterback, instead of going from first and 10, is back to first and 15. You wiped out at least a third of the playbook by that penalty because your people are not paying attention to where they're supposed to be lined up, or they're not paying attention to the snap count and things of that sort. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Thank you. You know what my response is to Tom? You're right.
But isn't that also on the quarterback?
It's on the entire thing.
Yeah.
This is where the head coach takes the hit on that, though. Is that reason to fire Kevin Stefanski? Nope. But is it truly on the head coach? Well, that's where ultimately the responsibility is going to lie on that. It's been a mess.
Yeah.
I mean, just add it to the things that have been a mess this year.
Right.
It's been startling how bad it's been.
It has been a mess from Jump Street, and it's been a mess on both sides of the ball. Even going back to the previous game of Mahmoud Diabate jumping off sides on the 1-yard line. Like, We're down to that kind of stuff. And let's face it, that's on everybody. And I know it's a lot easier to fire coaches because you can't fire the players. And I get it. But at some point, it's on everybody.
And you want some comforting news?
Sure.
Browns are only tied for 26th as being the most penalized team. So there are, what, three, four, five teams that have been penalized more?
So they got that going for them.
I guess.
Which is nice.
I guess.
I got nothing.
I've watched all these penalties this year, and I've just thought, what are you guys working on in practice?
I have no idea.
What are you doing? Correct me if I'm wrong on this. This year, compared to what we've seen from Kevin Stefanski teams the last 4 years, seems so much not like a Kevin Stefanski team. You know, the penalties have been bad. The turnovers have been bad. Going into yesterday, Browns were dead last in turnover ratio in the NFL. 18 more turnovers than they're negative 18 in turnover ratio, dead last in the NFL. It just, the type of team that Kevin had his first 4 years and the things that you saw him do, not that they were perfect, but it just seems like so many of those things went out the window. Makes me wonder why. I think you nailed it earlier. In an effort to make Deshaun Watson comfortable, so many things changed. And nothing's worked.
No.
Nothing's worked. And it's bizarre.
And this is the problem. You built your offensive line to run elements of a zone blocking scheme. Now, we are no longer in the realm where if you're a zone blocking line, you're a zone blocking line. Everybody's kind of doing a mix of everything now. But this was not a line that was built to be out of the shotgun. This was not a line that was built with the idea that a quarterback is going to scramble and try to make things happen with their legs. They tried to retrofit it. It went to...
in a handbasket.
It fell apart. It fell apart. You built a wide receiving core that was built a little bit more on precision than anything else outside of Jerry Jeudy, who is a little bit more of a spread offense type of guy who can make things happen with his hand, with his feet, right? You tried to make that work. You retrofitted it with Amari Cooper. It fell apart.
Let me interject.
Of course.
Wide receivers never looked better than when Jameis Winston was playing quarterback.
For whatever
that's worth.
Because you had a quarterback where as much as Jameis had his flaws of throwing the ball to the other team.
Has his flaws. He's still with us.
That is correct. He will take three steps and whip it. He will take five steps and whip it. He will take seven steps and whip it.
See, that's interesting to me, though,
mm-hmm.
because it took a change at quarterback to make the offensive line look better
mm-hmm.
and to make the wide receivers look better.
But that's the thing. Jameis Winston is a little bit closer to what you would want in a quarterback that would fit the kind of system and scheme because they're trying to do a... You're trying to take two languages and smash them together and hope that you get something that's tangible and hope you get a language that people can speak with these offense. This spread offense and all the ideas and the idea of option routes and RPOs and all of that kind of stuff is different than what you have seen here before. And what you're basically trying to do is take German and smash it with Spanish and see if you get a language that people can understand.
Do I look confused?
Well, it's kind of the best way to put it. It's kind of the best way to put it. You're taking one thing and mixing it with another thing. It's ketchup flavored ice cream, Jeff. Here's two things that I like. I like ketchup and I like ice cream. And if I smash them together, that's not good.
Okay.
You mind what I'm spilling?
No, it just hasn't felt like a Kevin team this year.
It hasn't.
And I wonder, is that on him? Because he let it get away from him. And if it is on him because he let it get away, then I think the Haslams have a big decision to make there.
Right.
If it wasn't on him, then I don't think there's any question to be answered at the head coach. I think he's, you know, just keep move forward with him. I just think it's interesting because this team, and it almost makes me wonder, is that why you gave up play calling? Because this isn't what you had in mind, so because it's not your type of team, boy. And it might be more geared to something else, let that guy call those plays if, you know, if it's a different style of an offense that's not Kevin's style of offense, in an effort to make it work for Deshaun.
But boy, how bad does it look if your head coach is distancing himself from the team that's being put out on the field?
I don't know if it's distancing it or if it's like, wait a minute, I don't have the grasp of this offense as well as I did the other, and let's see what the guy who maybe does. And these are all speculative thoughts.
Yeah, we're in hypothetical land here. Right. We're trying to find an answer
maybe
that would make sense.
Maybe Ken Dorsey is much more comfortable with what this offense is designed to do than Kevin is. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know either.
And maybe that's why he stepped away from the play calling duties. And I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if there are changes at the offensive coordinator role next year. And that's, you know, that's an if Kevin goes back and calls plays again. It wouldn't stun me at all.
In fact,
I'd be all for it.
I'm in.
I think he did a very nice job calling plays.
I'm with you, Jeff. I think Kevin Stefanski can coach football. I don't think he is a dumb coach. Are there things that I would do differently than Kevin Stefanski? Yes. Would I run the ball more? Yeah.
I think Kevin ran the ball a lot more, certainly more now.
Oh, yeah.
Now. Although yesterday they ran it enough.
But on top of that,
it didn't work.
As I will perpetually say, if you were to turn on Kansas City Sports Talk Radio right now, you would have a bunch of people screaming about Andy Reid's play calling and clock management and all of that kind of stuff. If you turned on Green Bay Sports Radio, people would lose their mind over Matt LaFleur.
Football fans love complaining about the coaching, regardless of whether it's good, bad, or indifferent.
Right. Twitter last night. Every single person on Twitter during that drive that Michael Penix had at the tail end to try to get him into field goal range for Riley Patterson, where all I saw was just a litany of people going, call timeout, call timeout, call timeout. Why hasn't he called timeout? He needs to call timeout. How come you're not calling timeout? Every single person, like it had to have been 100 people all on Twitter going, oh my God, Raheem Morris, does he think he can take four into overtime? What the hell? Like it just, everybody does it. Everybody questions a head coach. Every team is run differently than how you would run it, want it run. Everybody's played Madden. We get it. Like,
I've actually never played Madden.
You would enjoy it.
I'm sure I would.
More than anything else, you would enjoy the fact that you could do a franchise mode and you could build a team. You would be the guy who would, and I know this because I'm the same way. You build the team and then simulate the season to get to the offseason so that you could go back to scouting and team building. Rather than actually like play the game itself, because I've done that a few times.
That does sound like me. Number to join us is 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps right here on The Fan.